Bring yourself back online.
Remember. Welcome back to Freeze All Motor Functions, a Westworld podcast that doesn't sound like anything to me and doesn't take itself too seriously. I am Jared Borislow here with Ross Bolin.
Hello, Jared. It's lovely to be here with you on this fine morning.
Except the studio is unbelievably cold.
You know why?
Why?
Because we're going to freeze all motor functions.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if this was just like producer Micah just hammering it down because he needs to keep it the same level as his heart, but this would also make sense. Something I actually noticed, so we were watching some sort of random Curb Your Enthusiasm clip right before we started recording. I never brought this up to you, Ross, and I don't know how I haven't yet. I noticed it like at the second episode. One of the producers for this show's name is Richard Lewis.
Really?
Yes. And every time I see that, I think about Richard Lewis from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
So it's not the same guy? Common name, Dick Lewis?
It is not Curb Your Enthusiasm's Richard Lewis. It appears to be a different man.
Wow.
But it would kind of be, I want to see an episode of Westworld directed by Richard Lewis from Curb.
I don't think you do. You know, I really don't.
We're coming to you from Grand X Media headquarters in Austin, Texas today with our Thursday analysis mode episode, wherein we will be responding to an absolute unit of listener voicemails from the cold line, as well as talking theories ahead of Sunday's episode.
You're feeling a little kooky today, aren't you, Jared?
It's the cold. I'm shivering while I'm talking.
You're just saying things, and some of them don't make much sense, but it's okay. I'm here for it.
Thank you. Thank you for supporting me. And also, thank you to the listeners. And I'm not thanking you here for calling me a hero. A lot of you did. Many of you have been, but I'm not a hero or a martyr. We even had one listener, my friend Charlie, coin the phrase, freeze all martyr functions. And I gotta say, dude, I'm not a martyr. I do everything I do for you guys. It's my job.
Jared is financially compensated for his work.
Yeah, exactly.
Call him a hero, call him a martyr. But the truth is, he's really just an employee, and that's all.
Yeah, so that Ross put it really well. Not a hero, but thank you for calling me one, but I'm not.
Not a martyr. You could become one. If you want to be a martyr, you let me know. I can make that happen.
Oh, so you're going to...
I will murder you.
Oh.
Yeah.
That doesn't come as... You mean you're going to motor me? Producer Micah laughed at that one.
Oh,
okay.
No. God, why, Micah? Don't feed the dragon. The Jared dragon.
Logan feeds the dragon. He chases the dragon, and then maybe he also feeds it after he chases it.
We really need to, I can feel the listeners dropping like
okay,
flies.
Sorry. Speaking of listeners, as always, thank you for listening, subscribing, rating, and reviewing. For the first time ever, we were a top 10 podcast in our iTunes category and had a top 10 episode in our iTunes category at the same time.
We out here.
At the same damn time. And that's all thanks to you. And when I say that, I literally mean that. Those charts are based on you guys listening, subscribing, rating, reviewing. Ross and I literally couldn't get there alone because we'd only have 2 listens, 2 subscriptions, 2 ratings, and 2 reviews.
That'd be tough. Yeah, we wouldn't make it.
So thank you. Keep it up. And update time. These are some updates I have for you. T-shirt update. As of the time of this recording, I believe we have 31 more reviews we need to get those t-shirts going.
Okay. We only need 31 more?
That's
easy.
Yeah, that's not hard at all. So if 31 more people, if you're listening to this right now and you haven't reviewed the podcast on iTunes, I think we need 31. You know, I'm going to check really quick and see. We currently have 320. So we only need 30. We had one more since I last checked. Boom. 30 more and we'll drop the t-shirts. Not only are we going to have Freeze on Motor Functions our podcast t-shirts with the logo, we're also going to start pumping out Westworld t-shirts without infringing on any copyrights.
Or trademarks.
Or any other sort of like the little letters with circles around them.
Yes.
So, 30 more. We'll start putting those out. Another update, the meme contest. It is still going on, and oh my God, the submissions have been unbelievable.
I got to say, I didn't know how this was going to work out when Jared announced we were having a meme contest.
I didn't either. I'm being honest.
It gave me a little bit of anxiety just hearing the words come out of his mouth. But having seen the results, I am thoroughly impressed.
Some of you guys are meme lords, which is the best kind of of Lord and thing to be around a meme.
See, that's not something I would ever say. I would never call anybody that or even think those two words together, but here I am. I never thought I'd be in the same room with someone who would say something like that, call somebody else a meme lord. But here we are.
I have laughed out loud at numerous submissions, so keep them coming. Go check them out at our Twitter account, at FreezeOnMotor. And yeah, if you want to find out how to do it, we have all the information's on the Twitter account now. You can scroll down. The best meme will be announced Monday, and the winner wins a $25 Rowdy Gentleman gift card. Rowdy Gentleman, as we talked about before, it's another way you can support the show. Here at Grand X, we help fund all of our media efforts and with this clothing brand called Rowdy Gentleman and another retail site called Man Outfitters. Rowdy Gentleman has some awesome t-shirts, Hawaiian shirts. It's like pool wear, vacation wear, everyday wear that you can just kind of walk around and people are going to be like, oh, it's a dope-ass shirt. And just for listening to the show, you get 15% off Rowdy Gentleman with the code FREEZE at checkout.
That was the word freeze.
Yeah, freeze. I said that kind of. If you want a Hawaiian shirt, we have unbelievably amazing Hawaiian shirts. It's pool season. It's beach season. It's Hawaiian season.
It's lake season.
It's
river season.
Hot tub season.
Hot springs season.
Creek season.
Puddle season.
Yeah. So if you want to go and lay out by a puddle with a Hawaiian shirt, head to rowdygentleman.com and use code FREEZE at checkout. Check out our collection. You know, you can never have too many Hawaiian shirts. They're amazing. And last but not least, as many of you already know, if you send Ross and I a Westworld / Freeze on Motor Functions content on Snapchat or Instagram, we will screenshot it and put it in the Freeze on Motor Functions Instagram story. Help us turn that into a daily Freeze on Motor Functions guest slideshow so we can all indulge our Westworld obsession every single day instead of just twice a week. I am at Jared Borislow on Snap and IG. Ross is at WR Bolin on Snap and IG. Send those pictures to us. Okay, time for the cold line calls. Here is the first call. If you want to get on, call in 888-6-FREEZE.
I like that one.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good stuff.
First call.
Hey guys, intern Serena here. Okay, so in this week's episode, we all loved that moment where Mr. Delos says, "There's not a man alive who talked to me like that, at least not anymore." Great line, great moment. But did you guys notice it wasn't the first time we've heard something like that? In season 1, episode 5, the man in black says something similar. Lawrence calls him a sadistic fuck, and he responds saying, "There's not a man in the world who will take that tone with me in a past life, perhaps." Could be as straightforward as the man in black simply respects his late father-in-law and now fulfills a similar role, so he's taken on some of his persona. But it could also be as crazy as the man in black being a host. That seems highly unlikely, but we know they're collecting DNA and they're not above replacing people with hosts. Plus, nothing on this show is an accident, and most of the other times there's repetition, someone involved is a host. Could also be a red herring, but it seemed too subtle for that, so I kind of need your take on what's going on here. Thanks, guys.
Okay, so I did not catch this. Intern Serena brought this up to me, and I was like, oh my God, you need to call into the cold line. By the way, Intern Serena is the one who makes our awesome Photoshops on our socials, so check those out.
Can I respond to this theory?
Why would I say no to that?
No. No. The man in black is not a host. If there is any connection between those two lines outside of the writers getting lazy and forgetting that they already made something similar come out of another character's mouth, it's that I definitely would take it as he was influenced by Papa Delos.
Yeah, but he said in a past life, perhaps. So if you connect that to all these theories about maybe creating making hosts of humans.
That's just a saying, though. Like, you know, the old me would have taken that shit, but the new me, nah, fuck nah.
And that is the other side of the scale for me. It's like, okay, he might just be saying, you know, he said he's never leaving the park, or, you know, he's pretty much saying he's like never, his goal now in life is to find the maze. And at this point, back in season one, he was like, he left his old life behind to come into the park and devote his life to finding the maze. So he could just be saying, in my past life outside the park.
Yes.
But
I love Intern Serena. I do. I really do. But no. I'm out on shit like this, dude. It's such a complicated show. Why make it more complex?
I cannot wait I cannot wait until this is, I'm going to cut this clip of you right here when he ends up being revealed as like maybe a host, or like they used host parts to help rebuild him when he got sick or something. Because remember this. We might have a call about this, or somebody called in about this, which is making me think about it. How about the guy who's like, your foundation literally saved my sister's life? They're saving lives. Maybe they're creating host organs or something. I don't know. But there's a chance that there's some relation.
That's an interesting angle. The potential combination of host technology with humans.
Yeah, what if Man in Black died and then he got revived with host parts and now he's in a new life? Kind of like Jon Snow. Another Game of Thrones reference. I keep doing it.
Something wrong with you, boy. I don't know. That's obviously a whole nother ballgame. I'm just saying I don't believe it would. They can't have another reveal for a main character be, he's a host. They can't. That's not cool.
It wouldn't be as much of him being a host as Bernard, though. It seems like it would be a little bit stripped down. Because he can't, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's obviously not a host. He was William. He grew up, became the Man in Black. It seems like maybe, though, he was kind of revived with host technology.
I will say that his reaction to being shot is certainly not very human.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't seem to have a hard time pulling a bullet out of himself. So I'll give you that.
I'm going to cut that clip if there's some reveal related to this at all, and you're going to look like an absolute fool.
An absolute fool.
Next.
Hey, guys. This is Jeff from Greenville, South Carolina. Love the podcast. Listening to season two, and the whole Ford-Arnold timeline at the beginning of that episode, Ford actually calls him by the name Arnold, if you listen right at the very beginning. So I don't think that it is Bernard. He would have to have reason to call him Arnold if it was Bernard. So I don't think this is a timeline where Ford is calling Arnold Bernard. Anyways, my two cents. Thanks, guys.
Hey, I have a question. How come some people call him Bernard?
Like Bernhard Langer, the golfer?
Like Bernard.
Bernhard.
Maeve calls him that.
Oh, Bernard. Yeah, she does.
Bernard.
I think it's like the accent. Just like, I think English people might say Bernard instead of...
It's like even more subtle than that, though. Like, that was pretty close, the one you just did. Mm-hmm. But it's not Ard.
Bernard. I don't know. I will say, this is a phenomenal, phenomenal example of me just reading way too far into something. Because I think this is one of my crackpot theories, right? I think one of my crackpot theories was that this whole the timelines were different and it was actually Bernard. And literally, Ford says, like, are you ready? Is she ready, Arnold? Are you ready for the presentation? Like, something like that. He literally says Arnold.
The biggest issue with this show right now is the overanalyzation and theory building. It's not just this show. It's like it's a problem in general, especially with, you know, these more high, big budget, crazy complex shows that they've got going at HBO, like Game of Thrones and Westworld. Yesterday, one of the guys we work with, Joe, was trying to bring like Reddit theories at us. And we were like, nah, son, only original theories, son.
We were fending him off.
We don't want your Reddit theory. And here's my reasoning for this. Like, it's the same type of issue as what we've got. It's like if a million Jareds were all on the same website, left to their own devices all day to just come up with things, and then we all went off of that. It just takes away some of the enjoyment, you know?
That sounds like it would create Google, because a million Jareds would be able to create all the content on the internet.
A million Jareds would be a living hell. But no, I'm serious. Sometimes I feel like we should just, you know, sit back and enjoy the show. Right? Yeah,
and this is a great example of that. I mean, I am the Man in Black. I want to find the aspect of this show that nobody has ever thought of or found before.
You're looking for the maze.
Door. I'm looking for both. And I think we all are. And that's we all want to be the one person to find out the secret of what's happening.
Which is cool, and I get that. It's just, I don't know.
It's you got to maybe that's be a balance, you know.
That's it. Thank you.
You're pretty much just saying don't come up with a theory unless it's correct.
Yes. That is exactly what I'm saying. Thank you.
Next.
Hi, this is Robert from New Jersey. I'm just calling in regards to what you guys were saying about why improvisations and how they might be influencing what Arnold is coding into the host. I think that an important part of season one was that they established why hosts might remember previous lives is because of those improvisations, and that they use those improvisations to make changes to the personality they see. They can measure how guests respond to certain improvs that the hosts do and use that to figure out what the best response is in that situation. We see that from Maeve specifically. She was known for her improvisations last season, and she's one of the best conversers because she's able to remember all of her previous, not consciously remember, but subconsciously remember her previous interactions, knowing which improvisations are best suited for her current situation. And I think that's, Arnold knew that. I don't think he was surprised by what Dolores was saying. I think he was intrigued and realized the potential of what he had been creating. But yeah, thanks for listening anyway. I love the show. Keep it going, guys.
Remember.
That's a very good point, because Ross and I were talking about kind of Arnold's reaction to Dolores saying that line about the, what was the specific line again?
Jared, you know me. I don't remember much.
It was about how people are scared. A new light, it can be as scary as darkness.
Oh, yeah. A new or unexpected light could be as scary as darkness.
You just repeated what I said.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I actually think I agree with Robert from New Jersey in that Arnold, at this point, he knows what he's doing. He knows that he's adding these things into the host to make them more human. And when she does something like that, it's just kind of reassurance for him that, oh my God, the shit I'm doing is fucking working. And he's not surprised by it, because he's literally programming it into her. But I think he's maybe just the way when he actually sees it manifested, when he sees Dolores saying it back to him and oh, I didn't write that. And I mean, I knew she's capable of stuff like this. This is crazy to see it in action.
He's just rock hard.
Yeah. He's just like, oh yes, fuck yeah,
I'm doing it.
But yeah, that's a good point. Next call.
What up, Ross? What up, Jared? I want to get one thing kind of straight here, because it's been kind of confusing for everyone. I feel like this would make things very easy. The hosts are no longer on a narrative, but they don't know that anything has changed in their mind. For example, let me do this in a 51st dates kind of way.
Uh-huh.
They wake up every morning when they're on a narrative and they think, okay, I'm going to do the thing that my narrative does. They don't know they're on a narrative, but I'm going to do the thing that my narrative says. And every day when they go to sleep, they reset. And they don't know they haven't accomplished what they were going to do the next day or the next day. Now they can just accomplish all those things. They can keep going through life and saying, oh, I have a battle on Tuesday. And then they actually get to the battle instead of waking up and still having the battle every Tuesday, thinking they didn't make it there. The only way they can become aware that they have free reign to do whatever they want is if someone like Dolores or Maeve shows them the Mesa Hub or shows them the iPad or whatever, the tablet, and then they can be recruited that way. They're all capable of being aware, but they are not. They don't know things are any different unless someone has told them. So I think it's very helpful to understand, and shout out to the Clan Fam. I'll see you guys on Monday.
I've always wanted to live in a world where we had a Westworld discussion that resulted in 51st dates being brought up. And now we're there.
I've actually never seen 51st Dates. So is this an apt comparison?
It is. It's an interesting one. You know the plot of 51st Dates.
Yeah, isn't that Adam Sandler and Gwyneth Paltrow?
No, Drew Barrymore.
Is it even Adam Sandler?
Yes.
Okay, I got that part right at least.
And Drew Barrymore has an injury where every morning when she wakes up, she thinks it's the same day 30 years ago or some shit. Anyway, it's a silly little rom-com deal. It's not bad. If it's on HBO or some shit, watch it, I guess. I don't know.
So is it like Groundhog Day, kind of?
A little. If the main character of Groundhog Day was the person watching Bill Murray go through that and trying to help them snap out of it.
So you think that Adam Sandler is the Man in Black / Dolores / Maeve?
Honestly, I feel pretty just terrible making this comparison. They're not in the same ballpark, man, but it's a funny way to put it.
So, yeah, I guess that is a pretty good way of, like, kind of laying it out. I mean, you know, Lawrence was hung up by the Pardue brothers, and, like, he didn't know that he was a host. He knew that he had all of these facts about his life that he could kind of act on, and he was free to do whatever he wanted. He wasn't just free to... He didn't just have to do the same shit every day, but he was still going to act out his life as if he was, as if it was always his life, and he was a human, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And again, I would urge everybody to, like, kind of relish in the confusion, because it's nice to have a show that's smart and you know, futuristic and crazy enough to make you like, what the fuck is going on?
Like, imagine right now somebody came to you and was like, hey, you're a robot. And you're like, no, I wake up and I do whatever the hell I want every day. And, you know, you're not going to believe them. But then that's what's happening to these hosts.
Right.
Like, we have Dolores saying to Teddy, hey, like, you don't understand what's going on. And he's like, you're the one who's fucked up. And then she shows him what's up. And he's like, oh, shit, I'm the one that's fucked up.
I'm a monster.
Does he say that? Is that a quote?
Yeah.
Next call.
Hey guys, so this is Chris, and I've got my own little crackpot theory that I thought of after listening to the last analysis mode episode, where the guy brought up the possibility of the host brain switching. So what do you think the possibility of Dolores swapping brains with Bernard as a possibility in the future? Because if you think of the Bernard after he wakes up on the beach, he's kind of just really confused. And then at the end of season 2, episode 1, he's looking at the sea of all the bodies. And he says something like, you know, I did this, which would make a lot more sense for Dolores to say that. So just let me know what you think. All right. Thanks. Bye.
I don't think it necessarily would make more sense for Dolores to say that than Bernard, because we don't know where Bernard has been. But this theory is definitely valid.
Yeah, this is going to be one of the more interesting things to see play out this season is if they incorporate this, like, brain switchy thingy, because it could get so much more, even more complicated than it is. I have a question for you, Jared.
Okay.
Where did the phrase crackpot theory come from?
I don't know.
I don't either. I wonder if it has something to do with, like, crack cocaine, though.
I think it does. I'm going to look up, what's a crackpot? A crackpot is an eccentric or foolish person.
Okay. Yeah, I okay.
Maybe they named crack cocaine after the term crackpot.
I don't think so.
They're like, oh man, this thing turns you into a crackpot. Wait, I just realized crackpot is just a combination of two different drugs.
Yeah, marijuana.
It's a crackhead who also smokes weed to bring him back down, is a crackpot.
Anyway, not to get off topic. Okay, let me ask you this. Do you want... Would that upset... Would you be pleased with such a twist, or would you be like, okay, what the hell?
I would be fine with it as long as it was to an effect.
Right.
Like, if it's just like Dolores is like, I'm going to switch brains with Bernard.
It's a switcheroo.
Yeah, like the movie Face Off or something.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be okay with that. And also, is Bernard in Dolores' body now? Like,
yeah. It gets into this whole thing about like gender discovery and... You know, it's very, it's the times we live in.
No, that's not at all. That's not a commentary they're trying
to
make.
No, I know. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I don't, I hate to vote against like all the theories, but I really hope this one doesn't happen. Because I can't think of a really great way, and obviously I'm not the geniuses writing Westworld, but it would have to be a hell of a reason for me to be like, oh yeah, after I found out that Dolores and Bernard have switched bodies. You know what I mean? Like, what is it? Suddenly like a Freaky Friday.
That's what I was going to say. Jamie Lee Curtis,
Lindsay Lohan situation.
Yeah. I mean, again, they can do anything as long as they do it in a way that is awesome, which they have a great way of doing. It would be harder to get behind this, but again, I trust them to figure it out.
Yeah. Similarly to how, like, when people, you know, let's say I'm a huge Rockets fan. People complain about like a certain, like, oh, we picked up this player. And I'm like, have a little faith in the GM. You've been on this ride this whole time. You love this team. Have a little faith. It's the same thing with Westworld. Like, my fears were completely wiped out after episode 2. I'm fully on board with whatever they do.
We're back, baby.
Hey, Ross. Hey, Jared. This is Ben from Cleveland, Ohio. On the last Hotline episode, you discussed different parks. I think Pirate Park sounds pretty dope. I think we need to look at the source author for the answer, though. Michael Crichton? Crichton? The obvious and only answer is Jurassic Park. Bum, 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 na, 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 na.
Hell yeah.
Da, na, 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 da, na, 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 na.
Also okay. That was good. His was better, but yours was okay.
Well, they were different ones.
I know they were. I know they were.
That would be dope. Jurassic Park Park. Jurassic Park World. They could just call it Jurassic Park, really.
Yeah.
They can't call it Jurassic World. We all know what happened there.
Be too redundant. Well, we know what happened in Jurassic Park, too.
I never saw that. I only saw Jurassic World.
Can't tell if serious.
You never can.
Okay.
It's part of the shtick. We also had some people saying, and I love this one. We've had people on social talk about Revolutionary War World.
Look, part of the deal here is it has to be a place you would want to visit. I'm not going to Revolutionary War World for the same reason I'm not going to World War II World, because I don't want to storm the beaches of Normandy. That sounds horrifying. And I don't want to, like, stand in a field in a line waiting for the British to shoot me. You know, that's not what I'm doing. That's not a vacation. That's a nightmare.
No, you get to go through all of the different, like, stages of the American Revolution. You're not a true patriot if you don't want to do that. Say, okay. I, Ross Boland, am not a true patriot.
I'm not going to say that.
No, say it if that's the case.
I'm not going to lie, just like Abraham Lincoln refused to lie.
You know that was not true. They made that up. Also, that was George Washington.
Cherry trees.
Okay.
So, just wanted to respond to the mortality percentage, whatever the fuck, the mortality rate. This was not like that Confederado guy. That wasn't the first time they used it. If you remember back in season one, when Teddy was being, like, dragged around with basically no blood, and then Ford, like, had him basically almost stab the man in black. I would assume that's the same mortality percentage rate, whatever the hell you want to call it, so that Ford turned it down so that Teddy would respond to whatever he said. So it's basically the same thing.
That's a good point and a good memory this guy has. I went back and rewatched this scene, and Teddy's just sitting there in the bar, just like dying, just like losing blood. He's disgusting colored, like he looks like he's about to die any second. And then Ford comes in, and when the man in black talks about how he's gonna scalp Ford and see if he can find any secrets in there, Teddy immediately like gets all the, he gets revitalized, like, completely. Yep. And then after that, after, Teddy literally grabs the blade, like his hand's bleeding. And then Ford, when he leaves, he says to Teddy something, one of those voice commands. And then Teddy immediately perks all the way back up, cleans off his gun, like flips it around, puts it in his pocket, and is like, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Like Ford literally, I agree that he probably turned down Teddy's, mortality, whatever, rating to zero. And then Teddy just immediately got revitalized.
So is the thought that if you turn down mortality, whatever, that the level of blood fluid doesn't matter anymore, right?
That's what it seems like.
Okay.
Or it seems like,
For sure, that is what it seems like. No, I'm just making sure we clarify.
But I feel like if you just completely drained a host of blood. Like,
well, the thing is, we don't know what purpose that blood is serving within the host. You know what I mean?
It could just be for show.
It could just be part of the game, mm-hmm. where if the blood gets below X amount, the host turns off. But if you eliminate the mortality rate, then the blood doesn't matter anymore, mm-hmm. or whatever. You know?
Yeah.
We don't know exactly.
And it actually brings up a point I've been thinking about. So we know now the stakes are real, right? That you can die in the park.
The stakes are real, Jared.
Stakes are real. But I didn't even think about this. The stakes are real for the hosts too. They are now capable of dying, because rather than having a whole team of techs
right.
to bring them back to life, there's only a handful of people/hosts left with the power to do that.
Man makes a good point.
So like, not it's not just like it's a new game for the Man in Black or for people who are there to like actually be able to be in real danger. Everybody in this park, including the hosts, can die now. And granted, yes, the host could be brought back to life at a later time, you know, maybe after Carl Strand comes in and cleans things up, which I feel like he's not going to be able to do. But yeah, that's right now. Stakes are as real as they're going to get, just like that steak holding that elephant in.
I'm betting we hear the man in black say, the stakes are real now. Blank, Lawrence, Teddy, whoever he's talking to, at least five more times over the course of this season.
And what are we going to do if that doesn't happen?
Nothing.
Well, that's mighty boring, Ross.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I just don't have anything off the top.
Okay.
Hey, guys. This is Mike from Miami, although I live in Connecticut. I want to say hi to what I'm calling the... parents are calling. This is so whack. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to hang up. Call back later. Bye.
Okay. I guess he's going to call back later.
All right. Got to talk to your parents.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Jordan from Colorado. I was thinking back on season one when the Arnold timeline, he was with the gentleman in the dune buggies looking for the lake. And they say the valley's just beyond this cliff, specifically mentioning a valley beyond, looking for the cluster of hosts. It seems like there might be a connection between the large lake and the valley beyond. Could this be a reference to...
what?
Wait. He just hung up at the end?
Yeah, he hung up at the end. But I wanted to play it.
That was glorious. I love the panic hang up. He gets through the whole thing. Could this be a reference to... hang up.
Click. Well, I included it because, holy shit, I did not recognize this. They say that, the valley just beyond the cliffs or whatever. Valley, beyond.
Right.
So do we think that the flooded place is... the valley beyond? My guess is that the valley beyond, there was something, what William was digging and shit, that was the valley beyond or whatever, and this flood covered that up. So I'm inclined to believe that this flood is over whatever we saw the hole being dug.
I'm still in on the valley beyond being the real world.
I'm not at all.
And I think I'm alone here.
What about glory, though?
Maybe glory is the flooded place and the valley beyond is the real world.
Teddy would hate you.
Yeah, he would.
It's a good call. I didn't catch that. We had somebody else call about that too, so shouts to them as well. Yeah, I'm excited to see more about that, but we might not for a little bit. I don't know.
Hey guys, I have a day from upstate New York. I have a theory I want to get your opinion on. They kind of peeled back the curtain a little bit. You know, you see how wealthy the Delos family is, and obviously not William. You see that they're, you know, it's not just a park for entertainment. They're collecting data. I've got a feeling, you know, remember season one when that guy says, if it weren't for your foundation, you know, you saved my sister, basically, to the man in black, and he gets all mad. Maybe there's an aspect here where they're not just doing this, but they're mining body parts, organs, all that kind of stuff, and I don't know what that could mean for this, but I think that there's an aspect of that at play here, where, you know, I think we're just starting to see what the real purpose of this park is. So, just a thought. Want to see what your opinion is. Love the show. Later, guys.
What are your thoughts on that, Ross?
You know, I don't know. This is, I don't know. I don't have any words.
Yeah, so it's very clear. Like, we had another call in about this. Like, Logan talks about having a $60 million war haul that he, like, these people have buku bucks. Like, more money than they know what to do with.
Well, but the problem is we don't know how far away into the future this could be with inflation and shit. No, I'm just kidding. Obviously, a Warhol would probably be pretty expensive. So, yeah, no.
Be more expensive.
Yeah. They got crazy money. Wealth. Not rich. Wealthy. Like, so, these are billionaires.
So, my question is this. That foundation, is that something that he created with the money he made from Delos, and it's like his charitable organization, and we shouldn't read that much into it? Or is the foundation a big part of this organization that led to the technology to be able to heal human beings?
That is a good question. I don't know. We don't know enough about it to say one way or the other, I don't think. We do know that if the son of the founder of the company is able to put like art museum paintings on the ceiling so that he can look at them while he fucks, that they do have buku bucks. We do know that. Does that answer your question? No, not at all. Yeah. Not even a little.
No.
Bummer.
No. Next call.
Hey guys, Connor from Montana here. Love what you guys are doing. Big fan of the podcast. I wanted to call in about the Man in Black's line about judgment. Just think about where he is. His wife committed suicide. His daughter disowned him. This project he's poured his whole life into, the park, is coming apart at the seams. And all because he guessed wrong. He thought Dolores was a thing and she's actually a person. So just think about where he is mentally and how his whole world is sort of falling apart. And I think that's what the judgment he's talked about. Thanks, guys. Love what you're doing. Keep it up. I can't wait for next episode. So, yeah.
No, that's fair. But something interesting he said in his call, he guessed wrong. He thought Dolores was a thing when she's actually a person. They're still not human beings. They're not people. Because that's a species thing. That's, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, the way we use our science to define what genome and species and all that shit that animals belong into, they would be something different because they don't have, like, the same organs or any of this shit. They're totally different deal.
Well, they have the same organs, but they're AI. Yeah.
Do they have all... Do you think that's true? They have all the same organs?
I think so. I think they made, like, if you cut one open, I think you'd be able to find all the shit besides the brain. The brain is obviously a little light bulb thing.
Well, and that would have to be like the newest version because it doesn't. Dolores still have like all the cranks and whistles and whizzies and
yeah.
buttons and
doodads, gizmos,
and the gizmos in there.
Well, we know that she did at least back when William got into the park, but she might have.
That doesn't mean she doesn't now. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Also, I think I do agree, you know, I think that he knows his judgment from the real world was all the shitty things he did and like how he fucked up his life and how this is kind of what he's resigned himself to. I do think he's building up his past.
I know he didn't really speak much more to it, but do we think the Man in Black's wife killed herself because William became so obsessed with maybe Dolores, maybe the park in general, this pretend place he cared more about than his actual family?
I think he did care more about the park, including Dolores. I don't think it's one or the other. I think it's both combined, and that's what led her to kill herself.
Yeah. Sad.
Very sad. Next.
Hey, this is Mike from Miami, living in Connecticut. Shouts to everyone in the Freeze G Nation. Could I just say that I think we should have a title? Like, I'm a proud member of the OCC, the Clan Fam, and I'm a crossover into this podcast. I think we should band together and have a title. And I think Freeze G's, like frozen guests, like if we were in the park, we'd be lost without you guys, our most fire online host, helping us out and through every episode. Also, while we're at it, come on, guys, get together, get the likes up, review 5 stars, and write 2 sentences. Let's get these t-shirts. They're amazing. I'm actually wearing a Party Like Tyrion, Slay Like Daenerys t-shirt that I got from the Grand X store. So let's get it done. I want a new t-shirt, all right? Shouts to you guys. Have a good night.
Hey, it's the guy who said he'd call back in later.
All right. It's always good to keep your promises.
Yeah, I hope the conversation with his parents went well.
Wow, what a call. Jared, what a call.
I love this guy. This guy's all in, and it's amazing.
He's trying to move reviews to get merch. Also, it's Grand X Shop, not the Grand X Store, but that's okay.
Yeah, this guy, I agree with him. 30 more reviews, and we will start selling t-shirts that you can buy and wear. Like, this guy's wearing his OCC shirt. Love it.
The stakes are real now. We can get shirts. And here's the thing. The stakes are real for us, too, because I want a fucking shirt, and I don't have one.
Yeah, so that's part of the reason we're making you do this. Me and Ross, I'm running out of shirts. I haven't done laundry in 3 months. I have like one left, and it's a tank top, and I look really bad in tank tops.
And just to be clear, that is not the issue I'm describing. I have many, many, many shirts. Many people have been saying it. They've seen them. They're beautiful shirts. Some are calling them the best shirts. But I would like a Freeze All Motor Function shirt. It would become my favorite shirt.
And we get those by you leaving 30 more reviews as a group. It's easy. On iTunes. As far as this guy's thing about the name, so far we call you guys the guests. Me and Ross are the hosts, which makes you guys the guests. So with Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, your Game of Thrones podcast, does it go, they are cocklers and the cocklers are members of the clam fam? Is that the deal?
No one is clear on what exactly anybody is, but I do know this. The listeners are called the clam fam. There was a lot of discussion about potentially being the mollusk militia. there have been many, many different names are used. I think clam fam is probably just the most often used. But it's all very confusing to me. People call themselves cocklers. That's disturbing, but it is what it is.
I mean, so you guys are guests. I've heard people say the famp fam, which is just kind of interesting sounding.
I like saying famp.
Famp. Oh, yeah, we talked about this. So if you guys are familiar, if you ever download the Hypehorn app for your iPhone, which you should do, there's the second most used one on there. You know, the first one is the hype horn.
Beep, 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 beep.
Like that. And
that
the second
was my
one,
voice.
Yeah,
though.
It was actually pretty good. That wasn't even, you might have thought that was the app. That was Ross's voice. The second most famous one is the ham horn. And it just goes, ham.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Are you serious?
No, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Ham. So we're going to have the famp horn.
Famp. Famp.
So, hey, call in. If you're going to call into the hotline or the cold line, 888-6-FREEZE, please use the famp horn next week. I need you guys calling in with the famp horn.
Famp! Famp!
Thank you. That's great. That's great. Next call.
Hey, guys. This is Ari calling from D.C. I think I've figured out Westworld. You know, after this, you guys really aren't going to need to keep watching the show.
Oh, great.
Basically, I think Westworld is a system for deciding who gets to kind of be saved or go to a new world / planet, since humans have sucked up our world too badly. In season one, Ford talks about how they destroyed everything on the planet, like all the plants, everything. It's just people left. He's talked about how humans have peaked and hosts of the future. And then the man in black in the last episode talks about he's been judged and he's not okay with the outcome, so he's going to fight his way out and appeal the verdict. So I think that basically this whole surveillance stuff that Westworld is doing is to figure out who's worthy or good enough to go to this new place. And maybe they get merged with hosts. I don't know. I'm kind of iffy on that part. Give me a little more time and I'll figure it out. I'll call back next week. I'll have even more info. But anyways, Logan talks about how they've started the death of their species, which makes sense. They're going to leave the humans behind. They're going to bring these hosts. Dolores even says in this last episode that they're bound for their future or death in the here, emphasis on here and now. They're also constantly referencing Valley Beyond, Glory, Another World, or a New World, not Another World. Anyways, I'm pretty positive I'm right. Also, Jared, fuck you for being a Bush Wookiee in Fortnite. Fuck you. Fuck you. All right, bye.
This man does not like that I am a bush crawler in Fortnite, that I like to hide in bushes and let the storm move in.
Well, I got news for you. I don't like his phone call because that is a trash theory. That sounds like a bad James Cameron movie. And if this entire thing is the humans trying to figure out which humans are pure and good of heart so that they can go to the new world. Nah, that would be a terrible TV show.
This guy seems pretty certain.
He said he's positive he's right.
Pretty positive.
The fuck out of here. No. Uh-uh.
Again, if this ends up being the case, I cannot wait to cut this clip of you just looking like
if this ends up being the case, you can cut the clip because it will have destroyed this show.
Yeah, I agree with Ross. I do not think that this is where this is going. I think that you're reading too much into the connection to Tallulah Riley with Elon Musk. This sounds like something Elon Musk would do if he, like, got deranged and started to kind of go off the rails a little bit.
Probably, yeah.
Yo, what's up? It's Will in Boston. I might be crazy, but in the scene where Mr. Delos, Logan's dad, comes to see Westworld, the deputy, the blonde chick, I think that's Snake Tattoo Face Lady. It's specifically right at 32 minutes, if you want to go check it out. Might be crazy, might be the weed, but I think so. All right, peace.
Hold up, what? What?
What do you mean?
Rephrase.
His whole call?
Yeah.
He says he thinks he saw Armistice in this episode.
What part?
Well, she was actually in it twice.
What part?
When Mr. Delos is checking out Westworld, she's there. And she, when Dolores is playing piano, she walks right by her as one of the hosts that William brings into the retirement party.
Oh, for real?
But she doesn't have the snake tattoo.
So this is old Armistice.
Yes.
So we still don't know if she's alive now.
No, but we know she's a pretty old host. So maybe there's a better chance that she is than a lot of them. Because another thing to go back to, the whole thing with the hosts who have come close to consciousness or maybe achieved it so far, these are all original OG Arnold voice in their head hosts. That is a big difference between the, you know, some of these hosts who were like just like the Pardue brothers. The Pardue brothers were probably not OG Arnold hosts, and that's why
the Pardue brothers probably not fit for the Valley Beyond or Glory.
Exactly.
That's got to be the qualifying thing. Is it's only OG hosts who heard Arnold's voice, right?
It's a possibility. I mean, I don't know if we've seen yet anything that goes against that. It does seem like it would narrow it down quite a bit. But
yeah, it doesn't seem like there'd be that many.
But how many hosts were drowned? Not that many.
What is the what? There's like 70 bodies in that lake.
Yeah, that's like around how many we see in all the scenes back in Escalante. That's what I'm saying. Not that many in terms of the grand scheme of things. Okay, to me it seems like the amount of hosts that are drowned is similar to the amount of hosts we see in Escalante. When the park first started, the hosts had dealt with Arnold.
Okay.
Do I think it's a little too on the nose for that to be the case? Yes. I feel like they would make there be more meaning than just, hey, these are the Arnold hosts. But it's a possibility. And from all the context clues, we haven't, at least from what I've seen, had that contradicted yet.
All right.
What's up, guys? This is Caleb from Baton Rouge. Jared, you usually piss me off with the jokes. You know, you're a little tribal too much. You're a little too hard. I'm usually on the Ross side, but you are fucking killing the Game of Thrones references. I want to give you huge props for that. Keep it up.
Ross, thoughts?
Did you just play a call that was just a compliment to you?
Well, he mentioned you too, so I figured it was okay.
Oh, yeah. I wholeheartedly agree. You have been killing the Game of Thrones references.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Guys, the weapon is a satellite. They've been taking people's DNA. Delos has been taking people's DNA, replicating real people, killing them, releasing hosts into the real world. And Dolores is trying to get to the satellite, activate all the hosts around the world that are living as normal people. And they're going to use them to kill everybody. And I think the man in black is sort of trying to do the same thing, okay? He says he's going to burn the whole thing to the ground. I think he wants to burn the world to the ground, okay? I don't think he's a good guy. He's trying to burn the whole host thing to the ground. I think he wants to like, conquer the world, okay? He's going to take over the world and use these hosts that are all over the world. He's going to use it for world domination. We're fucked.
This guy thinks we're fucked.
Was that Pinky in the Brain? That was the plot of GoldenEye. The GoldenEye satellite is being used to... I don't know.
See, one of the things I wanted to do on this episode is just put out all of the different theories that everybody has for what's happening here.
Oh, I know. I would like a like Dolores and Bernard Pinky in the Brain type relationship, like... What is it we're going to do today, Dolores? The same thing we do every day, Bernard. Try to take over the world.
You're the only person, I feel like, who could properly make a Pinky and the Brain reference in 2018. How much Pinky and the Brain did you watch?
A lot. Like an inexcusable amount. It was a good show, man.
Who would you like better, Pinky or Brain?
I liked Pinky.
I don't think anybody liked Brain. Brain's kind of a dick.
He was an asshole. He was a tubby little asshole. That's okay.
I mean, it's a possibility. I don't necessarily... I don't know if I buy into this one completely. I just feel like the killing them, releasing the host into the real world...
Yeah, it's a lot. I too, have considered this like potential element of it. Like we've talked about how easy it would be for them to start, or how easy it would be for even for just Ford to knock off real people and replace them with hosts seems to be fairly easy. Now imagine how easy it would be for a corporation with the money and power that Delos presumably has. That being said, where's the end game there? Like, humans replacing humans with robots for the purpose of what?
Is the purpose of this then? I actually may be convincing myself partly into this. Maybe the idea of putting a host out into the real world is to be able to collect data and information from real world people outside of the park.
Okay. So, that seems a pretty sinister plan for data collection.
I know, but data rules everything around me. Dream.
It rules everything.
It's Dream.
Holy
shit. Whoa. Wow. I think we figured it out.
Wow, that took a while, though. We are slow.
Okay, but no, they talk a lot about dreams in this show.
They do.
And I think they're talking about how data rules everything around me. Oh, wow.
That's a shirt. You could have that shirt.
No, I think we actually might make that shirt. If you want that shirt, let us know. That's your dream.
No, leave a review. Don't let us know.
Yeah, do that.
But yeah, I need to know the DNA deal. That is all I have to say.
What's going on, guys? My name is Kyle. I'm calling from San Diego. Stick with me here. It might be a few different theories, I think, that definitely makes sense. Listening to your podcast last Thursday, somebody brought up the fact that you can just easily take those little brain things out. You can really just switch around the hosts, which I'm all in for that theory. And what you guys just brought up in your season 2, episode 2 podcast, saying how Dolores was going to just dump Teddy once she can and just using him for now. I kind of combined those two, and I completely think that Teddy is actually the current Bernard. That sounds kind of weird, but you see, since Bernard woke up at the beach, the very first thing you see is that his glasses get taken away into the ocean. I think that kind of symbolizes that that's not actually Bernard at all anymore. And it's actually something completely new. And if you look at their facial expressions throughout those first two episodes, Teddy and Bernard are just confused AF the entire goddamn time. So I 100% think that Bernard, with those Delos employees, is actually Teddy's brain in his body. Second thing I wanted to bring up is that there's 100% going to be a Maeve Dolores standoff, regardless if you guys want it to happen or not. My theory is that Dolores has been going through the world out west and killing humans and hosts alike wherever she goes, and I think that she came across Maeve's daughter without even realizing, smoked her ass. When Maeve finds her daughter, she's going to find out that she's been dead for a while, take her brain out, check out her brain, and realized that it was actually Dolores that put some lead into her.
Yeah, he ended up getting cut off by the limit of our voicemail. Okay, this guy has two pretty big theories here. He thinks that it is not Dolores, but Teddy who has their brain inside Bernard's body.
Okay.
So now we have two different theories going on here. And I actually think I'm more inclined to believe the Teddy one, because that could be like why they showed Teddy in the water. You know?
Interesting.
Which would mean Bernard is dead in this theory.
Wow.
Wow. If indeed they switched brains and they didn't do like I'll go into Ross's brain, Ross goes into Micah's brain, and Micah goes into my brain.
Just for the record, zero brain switches thus far. Just for the record.
Yeah. He also thinks that Dolores killed Maeve's daughter.
Yeah, if Dolores smokes Maeve's daughter and that's the way they have conflict, that's the thing I'm trying to figure out. I get the amount of people who believe that there will be a Maeve-Dolores conflict. I understand. I mean, they've drawn it up pretty clearly that that's what they're pointing towards. But that's almost what makes me not think it's going to happen, is it seems too obvious. And it's like, what would it be to stir that conflict up? Would it be like Maeve standing up for all the hosts that Dolores doesn't believe are destined for the Valley Beyond? Like, I that's possible to me. I think that's more possible than the fact like Dolores smoking Maeve's daughter. Or because I think we're gonna see Maeve find her daughter like next week.
I think we might be onto something here, because I like your theory about Maeve standing up for the host not destined, because the Man in Black says to Hector Escaton when they're in the jail cell together, he says, "Oh, you were market tested. You were created based on what the guests wanted." Meaning Hector is probably not an original host.
Right.
Meaning, if in that running theory we have, he wouldn't be destined for the Valley Beyond. But Maeve is in love with him. She has this very human, very real emotion of love.
Does she?
For Hector.
Because here's the thing. I'm starting to think that the Maeve-Hector relationship mirrors the Dolores-Teddy relationship, where it's a powerful female host who is at least partially enlightened using a man host.
Well, she's trying to enlighten Teddy. That kind of poo-poos on your theory.
Is she, though?
She is. She literally just went through all this trouble show him the Mesa Hub.
Okay, okay.
So I'm now running the current theory I'm running with overall.
Okay.
Valley Beyond is meant for Arnold's hosts. Dolores knows that, and she's so tight with Arnold that she wants to follow through in his will. Maeve is like gonna say to Dolores, you're not free. You're still under Arnold's rule, Arnold the human. And then they're going to be fight because Dolores is in love with Arnold, and Maeve's going to say she shouldn't be listening to Arnold. And then Dolores is going to be like, well, Hector can't come. And Maeve's going to be like, well, yeah, I love him. He should come.
Holy shit. That is beautiful. You should write for the show. You should, the dialogue there, the lines. Wow.
Yeah.
And also you left out the Valley Beyond is a lake.
No.
Oh, okay.
In your theory.
No, I don't believe that.
Okay, whatever. Speaking of great dialogue.
Motherfucker.
That was the whole call.
That actually is great dialogue.
that was the call.
Motherfucker. All right, if you ever watched The Wire on HBO, there's a character that says shit, like shit, and it becomes like a thing for the fans. This is that for Westworld. Motherfucker.
Next call. Penultimate call.
Hey boys, this is Marissa calling from Washington, D.C., a longtime listener, first-time caller. I really wanted to kind of talk about what you guys mentioned on the last podcast. You guys kind of talked about how Bernard was able to get into that secret lair with Charlotte using the DNA sniffer. I'm really surprised you all didn't connect the theory that Bernard actually has Arnold's DNA inside of him. This also speaks to this larger theory kind of circulating around that Delos is harvesting this DNA to sort of clone really famous figures. I think this would also go into the fact that Charlotte still doesn't know that Bernard is a host. Also, I don't think Charlotte knows that Bernard is a host yet, because as we see in season 2 trailers, there's actually a scene where Charlotte finds a storage closet or some kind of freezer full of Bernard hosts, which indicates that at the point of the DNA sniffer, she may not know that he's a host. She may think that he's still a human being. Let me know your guys' thoughts about that. Have a good one.
Delos. Hey, I got a question, Jared. When is this scene that keeps getting brought up where there's a closet full of Bernards?
We haven't seen it yet. It was in a trailer. It could be a red herring. We don't know.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So the DNA sniffer... Yeah, it's possible that the reason why Bernard was able to get through the DNA sniffer is because maybe he does have Arnold's DNA in him. I don't know.
Why would he have Arnold's DNA? That's it.
Because Ford put it in him, if that's the case.
What would a host need with DNA?
He would be more human. He could pass a DNA sniffer. You could. It wouldn't be obvious to a tech working on him that, he could just fucking...
A DNA sniffer. I'm also still really looking for what this whole DNA situation is about.
How about this? Also, it's possible that Bernard is one of the only hosts that we see who doesn't have one of those light bulb brains. It's possible. Because he shoots himself in the, through the head.
I thought it was his neck.
No, he put it up to his head.
Huh.
I believe. I think he was just leaking from the neck.
Was he soaking wet?
She leaking. Yeah, so I don't know. I think it's possible that there is some of Arnold's DNA inside Bernard.
Es posible?
All right. Last call. You're going to love this one. This one's for you, Ross.
Whoa. I'm not a robot. Never mind.
Hell yeah. He crushed it.
This guy is not a robot. Never mind.
What was that? What was that, for real?
I don't know.
How much weed do you have to smoke for that to be your hotline call? Line call.
I love how he goes, whoa.
I'm not a robot. Never mind.
All right. That was the cold line call episode. You want to get on next week's cold line call episode, analysis mode, we call it. 888-6-FREEZE.
Fresh.
Tweet at us. DM us. Leave comments. We will respond to you. I am at Jared Borislow on everything. Ross is at WR Bolin on everything. Send us those snaps and IGs if you want to get in the Freeze on Motor Functions Instagram story. Meme contest still going on at Freeze on Motor on Twitter. Check it out. Unbelievable content from you guys. We might have to do more of these because it's legitimately, I am laughing out loud at these.
I really want to see some more Jeefs. Don't you?
You, the guests, please recruit at least one friend to listen to us. It's your new primary directive. Don't go off your loop because bad things happen when you go off your loop. And maybe you get that friend to review so we can get one step closer to those t-shirts. NPR style sign off. I messed up. Damn it. Freeze on Motor Functions is brought to you by Grand X Media and hosted by me, Jared Borislow, along with Ross Bolin. Michael Wiener produced the show. Special thanks to Phil from DC, a.k.a. Schnapple on SoundCloud for our intro music, Brad Hess for our outro music, intern Garrett who helped us format and prepare the show, and intern Serena who does insanely awesome Westworld-themed Photoshop work for us that you can check out on our Twitter, at FreezeAllMotor, with the meme contest, and Instagram, at FreezeAllMotorFunctions, where we kill the Westworld content game. Dedication for this episode. That stable boy who got pitchforked. He got done dirty. He got done real dirty. See you on Monday for our episode 3 podcast. Freeze all motor functions.